now bring you An American Family Saga. American Family Saga is dedicated to the home. God gave all men all earth to love. But since our hearts are small, ordained for each, one spot should prove beloved over all. Kipling said that. Tonight's scene is entitled Introduction to the Mills. Commercial will be presented here. This saga of a modern American family is neither an expose of youth's foibles nor an accusation against the older generation. It is merely a cross-section of the life of one family. Controversial subjects are dealt with from each individual character's point of view and have no further purpose than to explain certain given types of personalities which exist in American society today. Every man with a growing family these days has problems no other father in history has had to face. These episodes deal with the family of George Mills, successful Bay City insurance broker, who has reached the peak of middle life and is inclined toward contentment with himself and the manner in which he has carried on his life work. Because you're to become so intimately acquainted with the Mills family, we want you to know them at once. First, you must know Mrs. George Mills.
Good evening.
And now, Mr. Mills.
Good evening. What with the coming election and turn of events in the war, we're having rather an eventful fall, eh?
Yes, we are indeed, sir.
Yes, indeed. The world's full of a number of things, and all of them of great moment to the businessman. All of them.
I'm certain of it. And now, Miss Judith Mills. Judith, may I tell your age?
Why, of course.
Thank you. Judith is the eldest daughter. She is 26. Good looking, too.
Thank you.
And now I want you to meet the hero of the Mills family. His name is John. John is 28, 2 years older than Judith. He was an aviator in the present war and was a casualty. He's coming now. One of John's legs was badly injured. He'll use a cane the rest of his life. Oh, John, come here. Do you mind? This is Lieutenant John Mills.
Oh, please, forget that lieutenant rubbish, will you? I mean, forget everything about war.
Why, of course, John.
Thanks.
There are twins in the Mills family, a girl and a boy, Eve and Eden. They're just coming up 18. Let me introduce Eve first.
Oh, no, you don't. Eden and I go in pairs.
Sure, we team up on everything.
Well, then, may I introduce the team of Eve and Eden?
Thanks a lot.
See you some more. We got a date. You know where, Eden.
Sure, we'll make it.
There's a pair for you. Straightforward, unrestrained, lovable. You'll like them in spite of yourself. And now just one more member of the family to be accounted for. And really, I don't know how to account for him. He slipped into the family by mistake, I think. Anyway, here he is, 14-year-old Roger Mills.
Good evening. Say, mister, look at this Mustang model. Made it myself. Pretty slick, huh?
Wait a minute, Roddy. We'll talk about airplanes another time, if you don't mind.
Oh, yes, sir.
And so this brings you the Mills family. George Mills, his wife Ellen Mills, John, 28, Judith, 26, Eve and Eden, 17, and Roddy, 14. The story opens in the Mills beach home, where it stands overlooking California Bay in the residential section of Bay City. Mr. and Mrs. Mills are entertaining Judge Charles Stone, family friend and counselor.
Poke up the fire, George. Judge, comfortable?
Perfectly, Ellen.
I've got a fireplace complex, I guess, Charles. Remember when we were kids, how we used to huddle about the old heater when you came over at my place in the evening?
I remember, George.
Way back in those days, I swore I'd have a fireplace. There, that's better.
He's even got a fireplace in our bedroom.
Yes, I like to go to sleep looking into the dying embers.
Oh, That's Don coming in.
Fine boy, John. How's he doing with his aviation ground school? Getting many students?
A few.
Sorry. Didn't know you had company.
Come in, John. It's Judge Stone.
Hello, John. How's the boy?
Why, hello, Judge. It's been months since you've been out. I mean to say, mighty glad to see you again.
You're looking mighty fine, lad. How's the ground school?
Here, John. Sit down here beside me.
Thanks, Mother. Mind if I smoke?
If you must, dear.
Thanks. Pretty fair, Judge. What with the war in full blast, I just managed to keep my hand in.
I see.
How about your business, Judge? Just as many folk able to pay for their crimes as ever?
Yeah, I'm afraid that's true, John. People seem to have just as much time to devote behind the bars, just as many lives to give on the gallows as in ordinary time.
More. Papers don't print anything but crime anymore. Crime and war. What's the world coming to, Charles?
In a way, that's true, George. There's a restlessness. It's the younger generation that's fermenting.
You're speaking about the younger generation. Too young to fight, of course.
Oh, yes, of course.
The younger generation. It ought to be spanked and sent to bed.
Like you spank and send to bed Eve and Eden.
John.
It's just such people as you, John, who make this unrest. Your half-baked cynicism. Your refusal to take the present structure of social life seriously. Your preference to risking your neck in an airplane to coming into a good, solid business and taking a partnership with your father.
George, no, dear. Let's not go over that again. John, 28. It's his privilege to choose his work.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry, George. Eden will soon be out of school, and you'll have a mighty fine partner in him.
That harum-scarum kid. Why, he's one big brainstorm after another. Charles, when we were 17 years old, we didn't run around doing as we pleased, did we?
Well, now, George, it's pretty hard to look back 40 years and tell just what we did do. It doesn't seem as though we did.
No, of course we didn't.
Well, if you're worrying about your family, you're doing so needlessly. You've got a mighty fine group of young men and women. You should be proud of them.
Oh, I'm not worrying about them. They wouldn't do anything wrong. It isn't that. It's just things like John's aviation business here. Why should any sane young man prefer to spend his life flying around in an airship when he could be amassing a good-sized bank account? Why do Eve and Eden keep harping on freedom, more freedom? Well, even Roger, 14 years old, mind you, even he springs wild-eyed sophistry about personal rights. I ask you, what is the world coming to?
Judge, I'm afraid you've struck George's sweet spot.
That's an important question in any family man's life, Ellen. In fact, I'd say it was the key to the whole turbulent situation in the United States today.
It's the first important step. A tremendous social revolution that's taking place in this country.
Social revolution, rot. You and your social revolution.
George, I think John's nearer the truth than you suspect.
Revolution means internal warfare.
Yes, Dad. Sort of war we're participating in this moment. A war of progress with conservatism.
I suppose you're trying to get over the idea that it's more progressive to fly a kite than to build a good sound business.
No, Dad, but progress is built on unrest. Conservatism on self-satisfaction.
Why shouldn't I be satisfied? Haven't I worked hard all my life? Haven't I built a business that has put myself and my family in comfortable circumstances for the rest of their lives? Haven't I given my children good educations? Haven't I taught them the laws of the land? And the laws of God? Why shouldn't I gain a little comfort from the fact that I've done my work well?
George, please, dear, don't work yourself up like this. You know you don't sleep well after an argument.
Dad, don't misunderstand me. I don't belittle your efforts. I mean to say, I think you've lived splendidly, according to your lights.
Not according to my lights alone, but according to the standards of thinking men throughout the country.
Yes, men of your generation. A generation that led the world into the most horrible catastrophe known to man.
You mean the war, John?
Yes, Judge. This war and the last one. That's what your generation of thinking men did for the world. And now my generation, Eve's generation, Roddy's generation, have to come along and clean up the mess.
There'd be no mess to clean up if you'd all put your shoulder to the wheel and push together.
Yes, Dad, but where would you have us push? Right back into the old rut that led to this war? We'd better watch out or you'd have us push ourselves into still another war.
Nonsense. There'll never be another war.
There never will be as far as I'm concerned. Nor as far as Eden's concerned, nor Roddy, if I can help it.
I hope there won't be.
I mean to say, I'm for this younger generation, heart and soul. No matter what they do, they're going to make us a different sort of country. They're going to make mistakes, lots of them. But they're going to pay for their mistakes and go right on until they've found out what it's all about and why.
But, John, unrest leads to war as well as to progress.
So does the old conservative dog-eat-dog system. That's been proved. We might as well have war attempting to progress as to have it because a few selfish statesmen and financiers can't get along.
Hmm? Oh, is that you, Judith? She went to the opera. She should be getting in. Judith! Come in, dear. Judge Stone is here. That's strange. George, will you see who it is?
Yeah. Oh, John, you must have left the front door ajar when you came in.
Oh! Oh, Dad, let go of my ear!
March right in here to your mother, young man.
Oh, you're hurting my ear!
Roger. Roger, what are you doing up and dressed? I sent you to bed at 9 o'clock. Here it is after 11.
Yes, ma'am.
Answer your mother. What were you doing out when you were told to be in bed?
Nothing.
Roddy, aren't you going to speak to Judge Stone?
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Roddy.
Now, please, Roger, won't you tell Mother where you've been?
Outdoors.
Where outdoors?
Just around places.
Did you go to the theater?
No, Mother.
Let me take him upstairs. I'll get it out of him.
Just a moment, George. Roger, whom were you with?
A bunch of the fellas.
What fellas? Your scout troop?
No, Mother.
I say, old kid.
Yes, sir?
Why don't you fess up and take your medicine? That's the only way, you know.
But I can't, John. I promised.
I see. Involve someone else, then.
Yes, sir.
Well, look here. Couldn't you sort of tell it so that you wouldn't peach on anyone else? You see, it's Dad's and Mother's right to know about you.
Yes, sir. I could do that.
Nonsense.
George, please. Go on, Roger.
Well, Lost Kids has got a secret society. There was a special meeting tonight, and so everybody had to be there.
What sort of a secret society?
Just a secret society.
What was this special meeting about?
Oh, nothing.
Special meeting for the election of officers, maybe. Huh, Roger?
No, sir. It was ladies' night.
What?
Now, John, please now. This is all very painful. Roger, what do you mean, dear, ladies' night? You mean there were little girls present?
Oh, no, ma'am. Well, it was a special meeting for everybody what belongs to the club to tell how much they don't like girls.
Oh, my. Here, here. What's all this hilarity about? Am I missing something?
Come on in, Judith. Sit in on the family inquisition.
Oh, Roddy's on the carpet again, eh? Well, good evening, Judge Stone.
My dear, how charming you are.
Sit still, Judge. I'm afraid you're an old flatterer.
Indeed not. Was the opera enjoyable?
Oh, it was all right.
Father, may I go now?
You cannot.
Yes, sir.
So you boys got together to tell how much you dislike girls, huh?
Yes, ma'am.
Was that all?
Well, and everybody had to swear he wouldn't ever, ever have anything to do with them.
I suppose that includes your mother and sisters?
Oh, no, sir. Oh, just that we wouldn't go no places with them or nothing.
Roddy, your English is miserable.
Oh.
Where did you meet?
Roger, didn't you hear your father speak to you?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, why don't you answer
it? Well, it's a secret.
Nonsense. There'll be no secrets in this household as long as I'm the head of it.
I hope you don't mean that literally, Dad.
That's just how I do mean it, John.
Oh, not really.
Dad's absolutely right, John.
Well, well. Then supposing you begin, Judith, by unburdening all the little secrets inside you at the family conference.
Oh, Judith, what does he mean? I don't know, Mother. It's just another one of his hopeless jokes, I suppose.
Nothing of the kind. I mean to sit there and say that nothing has ever occurred in your life that isn't a secret from your family?
Well, how perfectly beastly. Of course there's nothing.
You poor girl.
That's enough of that. Roger, I'll give you until morning to think it over. I want you to come to me before breakfast and tell me where this meeting was held and who was present.
I won't tell.
You will, or you'll get the worst whipping you've ever received. Now go to bed, and I hope you'll think better of your decision in the morning.
Yes, sir. Father.
Well?
Couldn't I have the whipping tonight, sir? I'd sleep better if it was over.
March up to bed, sir. Do you hear me?
Yes, sir. Night, Redstone.
Good night, Roger.
Night, Mother.
Good night, Roger.
Charles, what are you going to do with a stubborn child like that? I know I'll have to whip him in the morning.
George, have you ever been able to whip anything out of him?
No.
Then why do you continue to whip him? You admit it does no good.
He has to be punished.
I thought whipping was to correct, not to punish.
Punishment is a method of correction. Certainly, as a jurist, you should know that.
But you've admitted that it doesn't change the boy. Why don't you look for a method of correction that will correct?
Dad, I'm sorry.
I thought I sent you to bed.
Yes, sir. I just came down to tell you goodnight. I'm sorry I went up without saying it.
Oh. Good night, son.
You see, George, your sons want to be close to you. Why don't you try to understand their viewpoint a little more instead of always trying to bend them to yours?
But the boy's in the wrong. He disobeyed his mother.
You think he told you the truth about what he did tonight, don't you?
Thank God my children don't lie.
Well, that's something to be mighty proud of, George. But why do you suppose Roddy sneaked out on you tonight?
Because he knew I wouldn't consent to his being out this late.
Yes, he knew you wouldn't understand him. You'd dismiss his request without a second thought.
And that's right. A boy 14 years old has no business out at midnight.
Have you ever tried to explain that to him?
Why should I? Isn't the reason perfectly plain?
To you, yes. But your reason and his desires can't possibly coincide. Therefore, you've got to make his reasoning power work, too. You've got to make him believe that staying out until midnight isn't good for him. And to do that, you've got to make him reason it out for himself.
Great stuff, Judge. Dad, I'll bet $10 you don't know where Eve and Eden are tonight.
Well, of course we do, John.
Do you know, Dad?
I most certainly do. Your mother informed me before they went out this evening.
But neither of them told you, did they?
No, John. I think it's efficient that they should tell their mother.
John, I think you're horrid to talk to Father like this. Just because you were shot down in the war, you seem to
Judith,
think that...
please, dear, Judith. John has asked you never to bring up the war in connection with himself.
It's a nice little habit of Judith.
Well, let's not talk about it anymore. John, Eve and Eden have gone down the shore road to the Elliott summer home. They promised to be in by one. The Elliots are perfectly lovely people.
The Elliott summer place, eh?
Hmm. Here, I can reach it. I'll answer. Hello? Hello, is that you, Eden? What? I'm sorry. I mistook you for my brother. Just a moment. Someone wants to talk to you, John.
Excuse me, please. Thanks, Judith. Hello? Yes? Yes, I see. I see. Well, keep the rest of it till I get there. Where are you? All right, stand by. I'll be along. Goodbye.
If that wasn't Eden's voice...
You've got the most obnoxious imagination, Judith. Mother, will you please excuse me? It's a most important call.
Yes, of course, John. I hope there's nothing the matter, dear.
No, don't you worry. Dad, may I use your car for a couple of hours? I let the twins have mine for the night.
It seems very strange that you should be having sudden calls at midnight, John.
If you'd rather I didn't take it, I'll call a taxi.
Oh, you're welcome to it.
Thanks. You'll excuse me, won't you, Judge?
Of course, John.
It's been a real pleasure to see you again. Good night, everyone.
They're in the receiving room, John. Right in here.
Lead on, Sarge. Well, hello, kids. I mean to say, thinking of taking up permanent residence in the Southgate City Prison?
Oh, John. John.
Oh, I see, Eve. Take it easy. Things aren't so bad. How about it, Eve?
You're pretty bad, John.
Mind shutting the door, Sarge? All right, now, everyone grab himself a seat. I brought Police Sergeant McCurdy along to hear the sad tale.
Hello, Sergeant.
Good evening, my boy. Seems like old times when I was doing patrol duty in your neighborhood. Many's the time I got you out of scrapes when you were a small tad.
Yeah, but nothing like this.
So you shot Jimmy Elliott, did you?
He did not. It was I.
Better and better. But isn't 17 pretty young to start shooting up your men?
Well, he had it coming.
Okay, let's have the whole story. By the way, I might add that the Southgate police seem to be thoroughly mystified as to who did the shooting. So don't spill it after we get out of here.
Well, then how did you know?
Just shot in the dark. Heard at the desk that young Elliot had been shot and had an idea, that was all. Now then, from the beginning.
Well, what about Sergeant McCurdy? Will he have to report what we tell?
This ain't my territory, son. Besides, I wish I had a red cent for everything that I've disremembered.
You begin, Eve.
Well, It started when Jimmy suggested that I go with him downstairs to his gun room.
Just a moment. How many were there at this party?
About 30.
Including the grown folks?
Well, there weren't any grown folks.
What about servants?
There weren't any servants.
That's what I thought. Must have been a good party.
It was, until Jimmy got fresh with Eve.
That was down in the gun room, I suppose?
Yes.
You two were alone?
Yes. You see, I thought it'd be all right. Everyone was jolly, and we had the run of the house, and so when Jimmy suggested we slip away and go downstairs, well, I followed him.
Quite natural. You'd never suspect a host of being anything but a good sport as well as a good host. Too bad it doesn't usually work out that way.
Yes, that's what I found out. Well, as soon as we got down there, he grabbed me and kissed me.
I hope you didn't shoot him for that.
No, of course not. I didn't even hold out when he mauled me a little.
Oh, so that's what they do these days.
Well, they call it a lot of things these days, John. But I'll be thinking it's still the old-fashioned spooning.
I guess you're right at that, Mac. Well, let's have the rest of it, youngster.
But then he said something to me.
Uh-huh.
Well, I told him to leave me alone, and I started for the door.
Bad business. I mean to say, never take your eyes off a wild animal. Stare him out of countenance. A girl with nerve can stare herself out of a lot of bad situations.
Well, he ran after me and grabbed me, and I jerked away from him and got a glass showcase between us. There were a lot of guns in it.
Enter the gun. I hope you wiped fingerprints off after you got through with it.
Oh, I did.
You did?
Well, yes, of course.
Well, I'll be a son of a gun. Can you tie that now?
Did I mention something about nerve? Well, what happened?
But I reached into the case and pulled out a pistol and told Jimmy to keep away and leave me alone or I'd shoot.
Quite the right procedure. Techniques above reproach so far. What about it, Mac?
Well, he laughed at me and said the gun wasn't loaded and leaned across the case and grabbed my hand and... Well, I pulled the trigger.
Young Mr. Elliott was mistaken. The gun was loaded.
Yes.
At this point, you calmly polished the gun off on your handkerchief and replaced it in the cabinet.
No, on my step-in.
On your... My dear child, why did you do that?
Because the gun was oily and I didn't want to get it on anything that would show.
But wouldn't your slip have done just as well?
Well, I didn't have any slip on.
What? Mac, what do you think of my sister?
You can't beat this younger generation, John. I've said it before and I say it again. There go you one better every time.
And after you replaced the gun, young woman, then what happened?
Well, the crowd was running downstairs, and I didn't have a chance to get out of the room, so I hid in a closet.
Well, I heard the shot upstairs. Everyone did. When we opened the door in the gun room and found Jimmy wounded and unconscious, well, there was an awful scramble.
Yes, and when everyone was crowding around Jimmy, I sneaked out of the closet and joined them.
Well, he was only shot in the shoulder.
Yes, I know. Then no one knows who shot the boy, but... us and young Elliot himself.
Well, that's all. And Jimmy won't dare tell. He's been in bad before, and he knows that if it ever gets out just what happened and caused a scandal, well, his father will take his car and allowance away from him. Mr. Elliot's threatened to already.
Then you can depend upon Elliot to tell a suitable story when he feels like talking.
You bet.
Yes, but where are all the others? Did they all run out on you?
I should say not. We all stuck together. See, they brought us all down here, and their folks came and got them. Most of them live down here in Southgate.
Released in care of their parents, huh?
Yeah.
John, you didn't tell Mother and Dad where we were, did you?
Of course he didn't.
No. And if I were you youngsters, I'd keep pretty quiet about it.
Oh, gee, I'm glad. They wouldn't understand. They'd think I did wrong to shoot him.
Well, what about it? Didn't you?
Well, do you think I did?
The law says you did.
Well, I'm not. I'm not sorry. He had it coming.
Are you going to get us out of here without making a row?
What about it, Mac? Think you can get the twins' names erased from the blotter? Keep the thing covered up without too much juggling.
Yeah, but they won't stay off long if young Elliot squawks.
Listen, Sergeant, I tell you, I know. He won't open his mouth.
I don't know about it. He sounds like a contemptible rat to me.
He is not. He's just too fresh.
Oh? Can you beat that now? Shooting a guy and then defending him.
Just fresh, huh?
Yes. It's just between Jimmy and me. He lost, and he'll be a good sport about it, you see.
I'll tell you what, Mac. If he shows signs of weakening, spill him an earful of what happens to little boys who give wild parties in this year of our Lord, 1944. I mean to say, your uniform will add a lot of weight to your words.
Well, we'll see about it.
Come on, you kids, get on your coats.
You're going home in my car just as though nothing had happened. I've got Dad's machine.
Gee, John, you're a good egg. Thanks awfully.
Yeah, you do me more good than a million of Dad's lectures.
Mind now you don't get into more trouble on the way home. Come on, Mac.
Eat your eggs, George, while they're still hot, huh? Oh, here, have this whole wheat toast.
But why isn't Roger down to breakfast?
He'll be down, dear. Well, did you and Eden have a nice time at the Elliott party last night, Eve?
Oh, it was all right.
I hope you acted like a lady.
Sure. Why not?
Oh, I was just wondering. Can't tell what mischief kids will get into these days.
But you notice that they usually find some way of getting out.
Oh, what sort of trouble could a girl get into at a nice home like the Elliott?
It's all right, Mother. I was just needling Eve a little.
Oh, here's Roddy. Here's Roddy now. Come to the table, Sonny.
Roger, don't you know you're to be down at 8 o'clock sharp for breakfast?
Oh, yes, sir. I was out in the garden. I didn't know it was so late. Here, sir. I brought the paper in off the steps.
Hmm. Well, sit down and eat, or you'll be late for school.
Yes, sir. Mother, may I have my eggs boiled instead of poached this morning?
Mm-hmm. Go out in the kitchen and ask Jenny to fix them.
Yes, ma'am. And may I have strawberry jam?
This crabapple jelly should do very nicely.
Yes, sir.
George, dear, you're not going to say anything more about Roger's secret society, I hope.
What? Of course. You'll think I'm a weak sort of father to let the matter drop.
Very well, dear. You know what's best.
Would you like me to hold him so you can hit him harder?
John, well, that's enough.
I'm sorry, Dad. I beg your pardon.
Never mind, John. Someday, when you're a father yourself, you'll understand better just what I'm up against.
I don't think I'll ever have the nerve to try. Looks to me to be the most thankless task in the world.
Please excuse me. If I don't glance at the headlines now, I'll not see them today.
Go ahead, George. Read your paper.
What? What's this? Host shot at shore road party.
Dad!
James Elliott Jr. wounded during fate of younger set. Eden, Eve, get up from that table and come into my den immediately.
But Daddy, I...
Oh, very well.
Sure, come on. Let's have it and get it over.
A closing commercial dramatized by members of the family will be presented here. You have just heard the first episode of American Family Saga, written and produced by Carlton E. Morse. The second episode, entitled Younger Generation Messes Around, will be brought to you next week at this same time.